Hello again. My name is Charles Sargent, and again, I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Sins of Henry County. All right, so far, I've spent a lot of time on the murders in Henry County. I'd like to give you a little bit more information before I tie these murders to particularly Eugene Barge's murder. Now, Jerry Banks was my number one concern when I first started this project. And after I finished my book and published it, it left too many unanswered questions because I had run out of people to investigate. But as soon as I published my book, my phone started ringing. So I continued investigating even more. Now, I never lost an interest in clearing Jerry's name. But I did start turning and looking into why Melanie and Marvin were murdered in the first place. Now, Jerry Banks was number one in my heart and mind about clearing his name. So I went to everybody in authority in Henry County and to the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, the Georgia Attorney General. Nobody would help me. So I finally got around to talking to our Sheriff McBrayer here in Henry County, and he was quite helpful. In fact, I think the first time we talked, it was over an hour. He really, really gave me his ear. Now, I requested that Sheriff McBrayer to set up a meeting with myself and the GBI to lay out what I believe was a terrible injustice for Jerry Banks, that he was falsely accused, framed, and I wanted his name cleared. In Georgia, you can't go to the GBI and say, I've got some information, I want to solve this case, or I want to help you do this. They won't talk to you. The only way the Georgia Bureau of Investigations can look at anything is if someone in that county, a police chief, a judge, a DA, in this case, the sheriff, and actually the sheriff is the highest ranking law enforcement official in your county. So Sheriff McBrayer contacted the GBI to see if their agent would meet with me and let me lay out my case. The agent in charge of investigations in Georgia for the GBI was at that time Agent Cynthia Adkins, and she informed the sheriff that first I speak to a profiler of the GBI and let him analyze my case, my facts, Jerry Banks' case, all the legal documents, everything that I could show that transpired, and then let him make a determination if there needed to be a further meeting with myself and Agent Adkins. Now, this Agent Howard was the profiler. He was teaching at a law enforcement institution down in Forsyth, Georgia, right off I-75. The agent requested that I send everything that I had, from my book to the trial transcripts, any information I had. So I wound up sending him information from the Georgia Supreme Court decisions, the evidence that was presented to the Georgia Supreme Court, and everything. And after receiving all that, he asked the sheriff to send him one other item, and that was the witness statement that Jerry Banks gave the night that they took him to the station at midnight, let him sit around to 4 a.m., finally took his written statement, and that's the statement this profiler wanted. Now, I told the sheriff that that might not be a document we can get our hands on, but I'll try. I went to Judge Wade Crumbly, who is our Superior Court judge in Henry County, who was Jerry's lawyer right after he graduated from college at the University of Georgia Law School. And he told me that he didn't think that he'd be able to dig out that document, but it wasn't that big a deal because it was so simple, he could reconstruct it from memory. And basically it was this. I went over to Miss Slaughter's house that Thursday, worked on her house till around noon, then I went rabbit hunting. While rabbit hunting, my dog had found a pool of blood. I learned that the puppy had discovered something else. The puppy was in a thicket full of briars, bushes, and vines, and I worked my way through there into a pine thicket where there was two people, a white man and a white lady, murdered and covered up with a bedspread. I ran up to the highway, started flagging down vehicles. Finally, I told Andrew Everhart, who did stop, go call the sheriff, and I said, tell him I will be standing here by the road so he will not miss me. That was Jerry Banks's statement. So the judge reconstructed that statement, and we sent that down to the profiler, Agent Howard, with the Georgia Bureau of Investigations. Well, he had everything. And I was waiting for him to contact me, and I waited. And then I waited another month, and then I waited another month, and another month, and then finally I just made a phone call down to the to Forsyth and asked him. I said, my name's Charles Sargent. We had sent some information down to you to help me clear Jerry Banks' name. And he said, well, I can't do that because Jerry Banks was guilty. And I'm thinking, what in the world? I asked him, what in the world did you base that decision on? He says, two things. And I said, well, what was that? He said, well, the first thing was Jerry Banks' written statement. And I says, oh my God, if this guy read that statement and determined that Jerry Banks was guilty of murdering two people, this guy is not a profiler. If he's a profiler, I'm a brain surgeon. I was livid. I said, okay, well, what was the second thing? He said, the second thing was Jerry Banks failed his lie detector test, a lie detector test. And I said, well, it's obvious that you didn't read my book. You didn't read any of the information that I sent you. And I said, I cannot believe that you would come up with some kind of lame excuse. I cannot believe that you're trying to tell me Jerry Banks is guilty based on those two items. I proceeded to tell him that Jerry Banks did not fail a lie detector test. I spoke with Detective Martin from Clayton County Police Department, who administered the polygraph test to Jerry Banks in 1975. When asked if Jerry Banks murdered Marvin King and Melanie Ann Hartsfield, his answer was no. He didn't show any deception there. There was no lie detected there. When Detective Martin asked Jerry Banks if he was alone the day he found the bodies there at the murder scene, was he alone? And he said yes. And that was a lie. He showed deception on that question. He did not fail his lie detector test. He showed deception on that question. Now, a little bit of history. When Jerry Banks was arrested, his family did not know what to do. They were beside themselves. Jerry Banks had a cousin named Mamium Webster Jr. He came over to the house, Jerry Banks' house, and told his wife and Jerry's mother and Jerry's brother and everybody that he was actually with Jerry the day they found the bodies. Manion Webster Jr. told Perry, with a P, Jerry's brother, that Jerry and him found the bodies, and Manion Webster Jr. told Jerry, with a J, that we need to get out of here. We can't get involved. Jerry Banks told Manion, I'm not going to leave those people like that. And Manion Webster begged Jerry Banks to get out of there. He said, Jerry, they will put this on you. They will put this on you if you don't come with me and get out of here now. Jerry Banks was very adamant about not leaving those people. He told his cousin, you go home, and I promise you, I give you my word, I will never mention your name. I will never implicate you. You were never here. Manion gave up and went home. Now, this is a story that was told by Manion Webster to Jerry's brother Perry, with a P, when he was arrested and locked up. So Jerry lied when asked if he was alone to protect his cousin, because they would have arrested him also. Those two statements, those two items, was no logical reason to assume that Jerry Banks was guilty. I knew then that they were hiding something, that this guy was hiding something. He did not want me to pursue clearing Jerry Banks' name, and they certainly wasn't going to get any help out of the GBI. So I went back to the sheriff and explained to him that this clown, Agent Howard, so-called profiler, was a joke, and I wanted to speak to Cynthia Atkins. It wasn't long before I gathered up all my material and went to see Cynthia Atkins, the top investigator of all the investigations in the GBI. Now, before I got to her meeting, I had already filed a Freedom of Information Act with the Georgia Bureau of Investigations on everything on the Eugene Barge murders. I received an email that had one document in it that was a final GBI report on the murder of police officer Eugene Barge. The first portion of it was basically a autopsy, basically explaining how he was killed, with what kind of rounds, and where, and the damage that those shots did to his body, this, that, and the other. I didn't read it. I went down further and started seeing a list of things by the Atlanta PD given to the GBI as documented evidence in the Eugene Barge murder. So before I get into that, I need to go back further to the three white men in the white van. The three white guys in the white van that were arrested in Florida and extradited back to Georgia, their names are Mario Miranda from Chicago. He would be in his 70s now. David Hall from Michigan. He would be in his late 70s by now. And Ricky Eugene Land, who also had a couple aliases, he would be in his 70s, from Lenoir, North Carolina. Then there was a lady that was also involved, who was a decoy that was used to lay in the road. Her name was Kathleen Love Scully from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And then there was number five, the fifth person involved in Eugene Barge's murder, was Robert William Johnson from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Now, he was killed in a shootout with a state patrol from South Carolina around 1978. These were the people that were involved in the murder of Eugene Barge. And it is my suspicion that they also came and murdered Marvin King and Melanie in Hartsville. Now, it had been determined by the Atlanta PD that these three guys had indeed stayed at the American Host Inn, room 218, and checked out that Thursday afternoon. There was nothing found on the grounds, so they tracked down when the last dumpster had left the hotel after their departing, and it was determined that that dumpster had been taken to the Clayton County landfill. Now, in this report that I got after the autopsy was a list of evidence that had been found at the Clayton County dump. Now, the evidence in this document first has a description of the clothing that was bagged up in Florida that the three suspects were wearing when they were arrested. And those clothes had been tested by the Georgia Bureau of Investigations in their report for traces of gun powder residue, blood, and so forth, and nothing were found. Those were the clothes they were wearing when arrested. Now, in the white van, they also found a sawed-off shotgun, 12-gauge, and a small handgun, and various shells and ammunition, including 12-gauge shotgun shells, in the van. Now, what they found at the landfill that they had thrown into the dumpster before they fled Atlanta were the following items. They found one black sock, I think some white boxer shorts, and two pair of Levi's, or at least be more specific, one pair of jeans Levi's and one pair of jeans Wrangler. And there was no mention of those clothes ever being examined by the GBI for residue, blood, gunpowder, anything. And they also found 9 Taurus 38 revolvers that they had thrown away, and a box with a serial number on it of another handgun, a Taurus 38 special. So they had a box of a new gun with the serial number on the box, but it was not any of the 9 that they found. So they never found that revolver. And I suspect that was the murder weapon used to kill Eugene Barge. I didn't think anything suspicious about the GBI report until I looked at a second document that was sent to me by the Georgia Bureau of Investigations. And it was a legal document form, but it was not typed. It wasn't the typewritten final report that was submitted. It was like a working document, handwritten, and it appeared to have been written at the time the APD, and it could have been the GBI agent with them. I don't know who was involved. I don't know who was at the dump. But someone wrote on this document in their handwriting items that were found at the dump. But when they made it a notation on their handwritten document at the dump, they didn't say one pair of Levi jeans. They wrote on the document under the clothing as being bloody clothes in bold letters and circled. Now that document right there is what really blew my mind. I looked at that document and read it over so many times I couldn't believe it. They found bloody jeans, bloody clothing at the Clayton County dump that they had dumped in the dumpster. Now, I made a copy of that document along with the formal and final document. And I took it with me to see Agent Atkins. Now, when I went in to see Agent Atkins, she seemed to be fairly, let's say she put on a good act. She pretended to really be interested in what I had to say. I gave her a copy of my book. I had gone to the trouble of making a poster-size timeline involving the murder of Marvin King and Melanie in Hartsville from the time the bodies were found to the time Jerry was sent to death row. But I noted on the timeline in red it on November the 9th, that would have been Saturday, I put a notation, something to the effect, the Georgia Bureau of Investigations found bloody clothes at the Clayton County dump. And then I showed her a copy of that document that I had made for her. And I told her that I did not believe those bloody clothes came from the murder of Eugene Barge. And she agreed. In fact, she said, no, his murder was more of a hit, an execution hit from a distance. And she said there would have been no blood splatter that would have been as a result of that murder. And I told her in Marvin King murder that he was shot. Melanie had been drugged from her spot, dragging, smearing her blood, and I showed her the photograph of the two pools of blood. I explained to her that in Marvin King's spot, I said, you can see that his blood was not smeared. He was actually picked up. Somebody would have had to put their arms under his armpits and raise him up, putting his back to their chest and waist area. And I showed her pictures of Marvin King, and he was a bloody mess. I said the blood on those clothes came from Marvin King's. And I had requested And I told her I had been requesting the evidence of those bloody clothes that were turned in, even though they weren't labeled as bloody. Those clothes that were found at the landfill were evidence in the murder of a police officer in Atlanta, Georgia, and they don't exist. I had no luck having anybody produce those clothes. I told her the blood on those jeans will be proven that that is, through DNA, that is Marvin King's blood. And again, she acted interested. And she said, well, I'll go through everything and I'll look at it and I'll get back with you. Now, again, just like in Agent Howard's case, I didn't hear anything back. And I waited and waited and waited. Several months went by. Finally, I called her and she said, you can come by. And we set up a meeting and I went by there. Now, when I walked in her office, she didn't pretend to be as pleasant and she didn't act as interested in helping me as she did the first time. Now, keep in mind, my goal was not to come in there and have the GBI arrest anybody, open up a case, reinvestigate anything. I just wanted the Georgia Bureau of Investigations to look at everything that I had uncovered and say, you're right. We think Jerry Banks was framed and his name should be cleared. Well, when I walked in her office, she says, I can't help you clear Jerry Banks' name. I think Jerry Banks was guilty, and I don't want to talk about it. There's nothing to discuss. I'm not going to argue with you. Basically, I got out of there. Now, I don't remember taking my stuff and leaving at that time. I can't imagine me leaving and not taking my articles that I had presented to her. I think I just went stone blank and blacked out my memory. It seems like I did go back and get my items from the secretary. And I put them in my office and I was just so disgusted, deflated. I was so depressed. I just gave up. I didn't think that I would ever get any help on clearing Jerry Banks' name. And then I started looking through my papers, through my documents, and she never gave me back that bloody clothes document. And she said, you got everything. I don't want to discuss it. I filed another report. I figured maybe they're trying to hide something here. So I went online and filed another Freedom of Information Act for everything on Eugene Barge's murder, and I got it back. It was the final document talking about the autopsy, the clothes found at the murder scene, all the guns that were dumped, this, that, and the other. But the second document, the handwritten document, stating that the clothes found at the landfill were bloody clothes, was not sent to me, and I called them back, and they assured me that document did not exist. There was no such document. So, I think I've just hit a brick wall. Now, as far as Agent Atkins is concerned, I have told people within the GBI that she's a liar. She's lying. And she's hiding something. I have told them that I am going to pay for and have a lie detector test administered to me. And it will probably cost me $500 to $1,000 to do this. But in this lie detector test, I will be asked questions about the validity, about the very existence of this document. Did I have it? Did I take it to the GBI? Did I present it to her? Did I talk to her about it? Did she give me her feedback? Did this document ever exist? She says it didn't. And my lie detector test will prove that not only did it exist, we discussed the bloody closed document. And after our meeting, we discussed the fact that it was suddenly no longer available. Now, I know I will pass my lie detector test, and I challenge Agent Adkins, who is no longer in that position. She's been moved to GBI headquarters, probably up, I don't know, but she has been moved to GBI headquarters, and I will challenge her to take a lie detector test about the existence of this document, that bloody clothes were retrieved by the three suspects, the three white guys in the white van, and its disappearance. So my next episode is going to look into some facts that you're just not going to believe. I'm going to wrap it up here, and then we're going to go into more of the GBI and the FBI files in the Eugene Barge murder. And my goal will be to tie the murders of Eugene Barge to Melanie Ann Hartsfield and Marvin King. And I thank you for listening to my podcast. So far, we're doing very well. 11 different countries. I'd like to get more listeners. I'd like to get more subscribers and reviews on podcast, Apple Podcasts. So I'm going to end it here, and we'll see you in the next episode. And thank you very much.